During the 15th and 16th centuries, Europeans engaged in what is often referred to as the Age of Exploration, the period when Europeans conquered, colonized, and enslaved indigenous populations all over the world, all in the name of building wealth. Some expeditions were funded by kings and queens. Remember Ferdinand and Isabella? But many ship captains' funding came from those further down the food chain, and some were so eager to please those patrons, or just really bad navigators, that they put islands on the map that didn't exist. Imaginary islands. And in some cases, those islands stayed on official maps for hundreds of years, even until recently. They're known as phantom islands. Uzbekistani electronic musician Andrew Peckler is fascinated by them. So he built a digital map of them, and he added a soundtrack. The whole project is called Phantom Islands, a Sonic Atlas. Charles Monroe Kane fell in love with the music and the audacity of those ship captains who created islands that didn't exist.
What we know is that in the 1820s, a crew of a ship sailing under the English flag, I think, purported to have encountered an island 300 miles northwest of Fiji and purported to have met a group of native islanders. The captain of the ship wrote down a report that they met the king of the island, exchanged gifts, and they noted a few of the characteristics of the native people of the island. Inscriptions on their arms and legs, they, you know, wear shells as ornaments, had some kind of paste smeared into their hair, perforated cheekbones, and so on and so forth. A fairly detailed description, but there was never an island at or near this location ever found again. There was never a second sighting of this place.
Why would someone make up an island? What would be the purpose of doing that?
The reasoning there is, I think, basically avarice and greed and kind of wanting to spice up one's own biography and, you know, some glory, earn some glory, whether it's real or fabricated. There was no one to question these white European sea captains.
Exactly.
Their word was not to be doubted. If you're sailing for the British Admiralty and you come back and you say, I spotted an island, it goes on the map.
Let's go to Saxenburg Island, which to me has the craziest story of any island I read about.
Yeah, this island was sighted first by a Dutch merchant captain in 1670. And he came back with a description of it having a narrow peak with a column rising in the middle. A number of sketches were made, including the topology and the flora and the fauna in some detail. And then it gets really interesting because Benjamin Morrell, an American sea captain who did actually purposefully invent several islands that did not exist for the purposes of glorifying his own name and securing further commissions for exploration, recounts that he went looking for the island and concluded that it does not exist. So basically this charlatan went about disproving the work of other charlatans, so to speak. But then it emerges, later on it emerges, this is the second twist to the story, that Morrell actually never went to the area where Saxenburg was supposed to be.
Oh my God.
And he concocted the whole thing to maybe spice up his own story and maybe to give credence to the narratives that he was telling about the islands that he had been seeing, which in fact he had been inventing.
When I hear you talking and talking about the word phantom, what it really means, yeah, it's this thing that doesn't exist that has a real-world effect, right? That's the definition. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking about one of your islands called Bermeja. It's an island where it just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But its non-existence had a massive political effect. Can you tell me about that?
Bermeja first appears on a map in the 1530s and is purported to be in the Gulf of Mexico. It's approximately 80 square kilometers in size, but there are no confirmed sightings of it reported after the 16th century. But in 1997, the United States and Mexico are preparing to negotiate a treaty over status of sovereignty over international waters in the Gulf of Mexico. The Mexican government actually sends a survey vessel to scan the area where Bermeja is supposed to be, with the intention of, if they find the island, they will be able to lay claim to the surrounding waters. But the search turns up nothing because the island doesn't actually exist. And then some members of the Mexican Senate voice their suspicion that the island may have been destroyed by the CIA in order to ensure U.S. control over the offshore oil and gas fields in the Gulf. And then they demand a further investigation into the possibility of Bermeja's existence and warn of a secret plan by the government to give up exploration rights to U.S. companies because they've been bribed. And then one of the senators who demanded this further investigation is driven off the road and killed by an assailant who's never, really? Who's never caught.
There must have been a moment, I don't know, where you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to compose basically a symphony of music around each one of these places. Each Phantom Island, you have a song based on each island. And I'm just super curious, where did that come from?
I've always been interested in and kind of a fan of this kind of musical genre from the 1950s called exotica. Which was kind of a strange and, from a modern perspective, you could say problematic genre of music where essentially American easy listening and, let's say, light jazz and pop was kind of ornamented with instruments and other signifiers from the South Pacific, from Africa, from Latin America, but actually had very little to do musically with those places. As politically incorrect and tasteless, let's say, as this is from a modern perspective, nonetheless, it is very evocative music. Something like a modern translation of that was what I was interested in doing. And these Phantom Islands were the perfect foil for that because these are places that don't exist. Therefore, there is no native music. There are no indigenous people to capture their music, their culture, their instruments, and utilize for whatever purposes.
You were born in Uzbekistan in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time when you were born in Uzbekistan, that region was part of the Soviet Union, right?
That's right.
And the USSR was on a map.
Mm-hmm.
It was a major part of a map, right? And Uzbekistan was just a region inside of it, but it wasn't a country. It wasn't on the map.
Mm.
Now, the USSR doesn't exist at all.
Yeah.
And it's not on any maps anymore. Maybe maps aren't really ever real. Not as real as we think they are, you know?
Well, I mean, maps, they're always constituting reality, right? They're a tool and they have a certain authority that is granted to them by all of us. But they are part of the whole machinery of political authority. You know, maps have this aura of being neutral, of showing the world, quote unquote, as it really is. But of course, they're always made from and by individuals or institutions with a certain perspective.
For you, what does it mean in this day and age to get lost?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a good question.
Thanks.
I mean, it's, as probably everybody who thinks about this question will tell you, it's nigh on impossible to get lost physically these days, right? You are always with a map, and the map is always very accurate. It's on your phone and stuff. You have to really go out of your way to get lost. For me, getting lost is, it comes back to music. That's the place when I'm making music or performing music by myself or with others, or even listening to music. There's a state that you sometimes enter where you don't know where you are on the map, where there's no map. When the map falls away, the territory falls away, and you're kind of in a free fall. But it's that's a positive thing.
Mm.
That's a good feeling.
a good lost.
Yeah.
Uzbekistani electronic musician Andrew Peckler on his work, Phantom Islands, A Sonic Atlas. Charles Monroe Kane spoke with him. If you want to explore Andrew's Sonic Atlas, we've got it on our website at ttbook.org.